So then it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be a Christian and to be here tonight and to have the wonderful opportunity to serve you, to speak to you, and to do something for Christ Jesus. To see the interest of those that have come out, and not only those that have come out, but also to realize that there's people that are fasting and praying that still have a hunger and a thirst for Christ and His way of life in the midst of what the Bible terms as a crooked and a perverse generation. Wherefore the Bible said, in the midst of all of these, we should shine forth as a light. So I'm thankful. I'm just so grateful for God. You know, a lot of people don't realize there is a God. Isn't that right? They don't realize there is a God. Now, I don't want to read just a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. I don't know just exactly where we'll go tonight. I had in mind some things that I wanted to go into concerning Revelation. I guess you probably already perceived that. In years gone by, I used to just get so perturbed, as the world said. You know, I just get so out of sauce and tore up because I wanted to get into Revelation. I couldn't get the people to understand, and the Lord showed me that that wasn't right. That I shouldn't do that. That I was just dealing with babes and I shouldn't do that. So I left off with that. But still, I haven't gotten over the fact that I like to get into Revelation whenever I can. There is some people that love the meat of the Word and that wants the meat of the Word. And because of that, well, I love to share whatever I can with them whenever I can. But it is utterly impossible for me to be able to share with you the deep mysteries of God unless there is a consecrated and a centralized effort of devotion. There's just no way that you can do it, because the Holy Spirit of the mind of Christ is just as gentle as a dove. It is so tender and so gentle. And, you know, it might inspire me, and I might just scream out, but it itself is a very soft, cooing, wooing spirit. And to be able to command your attention to speak the deep mysteries of God, it has to be Him speaking. It has to be Him speaking. And if He doesn't speak, well, we don't get the mysteries. Now, the world isn't going to get the mysteries. I think all of you are acquainted with the fact that the world is not going to get the mysteries. It doesn't matter what kind of educational system they have. They cannot get the mysteries of God. The Bible tells us that God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent, and have made them revelation unto babes, such as will learn. And that He has set them abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. So there is no hope of them getting the mysteries of God. Jesus' disciples asked one time, said, "Why is it, Lord, that you speak to these people in parables?" Jesus said, "It is because it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto you," He said, "it is given. I've taken you into my confidence, and unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." So then, if it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, then that is what we need to know. Now, I know the Bible tells us that rather than following after spiritual gifts and rather than following after mysteries, that we should follow after charity. The church here is not established on mysteries. It is established on the love of God, which is the rock of our salvation, charity. The Bible said, follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts. So then it's founded on the love of God. It's founded on charity. That's why we call it love's tabernacle or love's temple. But the thing is, there is mysteries of God that we need to know. Paul, aside from the fact that he tells us that charity is the bond of perfection, the rock of our salvation, aside from that, he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For it is given unto us to know the mysteries of God. Now, give me just a minute here. I'd like to read some from the book of Ezekiel, I believe it is. If the, what chapter, John? Jim? 43. I spoke of a chapter this evening to Brother Jimmy, who's talking. That's where it's at. Chapter 43, Ezekiel. I want to read just a little bit here. And like I say, I don't know where I'll go in my exhortation. It just depends on what kind of spirit you offer me. See, here's the thing. 15 people could be in the audience and one of them could have a bad spirit. And 14 might get something and the 15th one wouldn't get anything. It is an individual affair. But one thing that we've got to be able to realize is that when one member suffers, they all suffer. If we have 100 people here or 200 people here, 300 people, whatever comes together, if one member of that body suffers, the entire body is going to feel the infirmity of it. If I mash my finger, I cannot have any peace. As long as that finger's hurting, I'm nourishing my mind on that finger and I'm nourishing that finger. I'm cuddling that finger because of the pain that I feel. One member. See, but now, if somebody come up and give me a beautiful diamond ring, if I cared for such things, and they slip that ring on my finger here, then that finger there would just be adorned so, it would just be such great admiration for it, you know, and my whole body would rejoice with that finger. Isn't that right? So when one member rejoices, all of them rejoice. When one member suffers, all of them suffer. And so we are the body of Jesus Christ, and we need to come together and learn to function together that we might be able to rejoice together. In the 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I want to read a little bit, and I want to slow down, take my time, because if I don't, the first thing I'll start doing is preaching. If I feel a little pressure from you, I can't drift over into the mind of God or relax and go into the mind of Christ, so I find myself driving, and I'll be preaching at you. So, if we can just be still, be quiet, study to be quiet, be still, and know that I'm God, and just settle down in the Holy Spirit, and concentrate and put our minds right on the things of God. And you know, some people, when they get still, they start just going to sleep. Isn't that right? They start going to sleep. That won't do you any good. That won't do you any good. So when you get quiet, when you slow down in your thoughts and mind, then make a little effort to place your heart and spirit right on the things of God, because God is a spirit. And God has something to say to you every time we come together. God Himself has something to say to you. Now, if the president was going to be here, it would be worthwhile for you to listen. I dare say hardly any of you'd move. You'd listen. If some king, some fabulous celebrity was to come here, you just listen. See, how much more when God Himself speaks through human instrumentality? How much more devoted should we be toward that voice as to listening and paying attention, seeing that it is God who created heaven and earth and all of the things therein? How much more, in that the Bible tells us to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, and take heed how that we hear, lest we get it all mixed up. I want to read from the 43rd chapter, and you may get something tonight. In the way of revelation, you might not. It depends on how hungry and how thirsty you are and whether or not you draw it. If you draw it, then the Bible teaches that the water will come out of the well. But if you don't draw it, then you can't get it. The woman said, "I'll draw water for your camels," when Abraham sent his servant down to get Isaac a wife. The 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, the first verse. "Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory, and it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell upon my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, this is Ezekiel talking, and here he is speaking of the glory of God. Speaking of the glory of God. How that he saw the glory of God. He tells how that he looked, and he saw the glory of God approaching unto him. And then he tells about the magnificence of the glory of God. How that the glory of God just overwhelmingly picked him up. And what it did for him in his life. He saw the glory of the Lord. There's a great lesson that we can find in this text tonight. We're not looking, that is, as a people today in the world, we are not looking in the right direction, and we're not looking for the right thing. The Bible tells us to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We should have our minds on Christ. Have our minds on God. Isn't that right? But people are looking down. Now you say, Brother Pike, people are not looking down. Why, look at the space age. Everybody's looking up. I know that. God has that for a type and shadow to show us that the Christ is coming, getting our attention in that direction. But see, God is speaking of a greater thing than that. Isn't that right? Look up. Ezekiel was looking in the right way. But everybody's looking down. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean everybody is looking down? I mean that everybody's expecting to die. Isn't that right? There's a grave somewhere for everybody. Isn't that right? Why, you can't tell people about living forever. They say, why, you know that you're going to die. Everybody has to die. And so they look down. But Jesus said, look up. I am the resurrection and the light. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Isn't that right? All right, so then we see Ezekiel. Here Ezekiel said, I am watching, praying, seeking God. All of a sudden, here comes the glory of God. And he says he sees it in the inner courts. The glory of God coming in by the east gate. He sees the glory of the Lord. That's the thing we need to be looking for. Not looking for riches, not looking for fame, not looking for the things of the world, but looking for God's glory. Amen. That's what we should be looking for. So then, Ezekiel, a prophet, what was he looking for? He wasn't looking for a fine chariot. He wasn't looking for a fine home. He wasn't trying to become a property holder. He wasn't trying to feather his nest to get a little nest egg, as we say. But he had his mind on God. And he kept looking for the glory of God. The glory of God. Look what the New Testament tells us. It said that, concerning the disciples, it said when they awoke, they saw his glory. When they awoke, they saw his glory. Jesus said, couldn't you watch with me just a little while? They got heavy with sleep. But the Bible said when they awoke, they saw the glory of God. Ezekiel seeing the glory of God. Ezekiel said, I heard his voice like many waters, showing that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There really is a God. He's not a hit and a miss. It's not some kind of a myth, but Christ the same. For he said many hundreds of years before John ever came on the scene. Ezekiel said, in my vision I heard his voice, and it was like that of many waters. And then hundreds of years later, here comes John the Revelator. John said, I saw the vision and I turned and I heard his voice, and it was like many waters, he said. The same God of Jacob and of Isaac, the same approach, the same great rumbling, outstanding, great voice that rumbled like many waters. The same God hadn't changed a bit. Hallelujah. Looking for the glory of God, and John saw his glory. And the Bible said that there, when The disciples went up on the mountain with Jesus. They stood there. They saw his glory. Later, one of them testified, said, "Did not we see the excellency of his glory? There we saw the glory of the living God." Have you ever seen the glory of God? You need to get your eyes open. Hallelujah. I've seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen the glory of God? Having eyes to see, the Bible said they see not. Having ears to hear, the Bible said they hear not. Lest at any time they should hear with their ears, and they should see with their eyes, and they should be converted, and God should heal them. Have you ever seen the glory of God? Are you looking for the glory of God? Do you know the glory of God? This is why that I love to get into Revelation. This is why I love to talk about spiritual things. Why do you want to do that? Because those things are the glory of God. Hallelujah. Those things are the glory of God. This is what Paul was speaking of. Paul said, "And from faith to faith and from glory to glory." Whose glory? From God's glory to glory. One faith, one scripture, one revelation, one divine comprehension. And then there is a glory. And then there's another glory. And then here's another glory. And I move from glory to glory. Oh, how wonderful. Always seeing the things that the Father does. Always knowing what God is doing. And Jesus said, "I see always the things that my Father does. From glory to glory, I see these magnificent things." So then I'm watching every day of my life. Like Jesus, I see what my Father is doing. I wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden the glory of God appears. And then my mind begins to revelate, and my spirit begins to revelate, and something begins to happen to me. And I begin to see from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And I'll say, "My Lord, look at this. I've never seen that before." God will say, "Listen, I want to show you something. Listen, I want to talk with you." The Bible said, "My sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow." And so then I will listen in on heaven. And all of a sudden, there I will see the glory of God. It's like the vision that I spoke of when I looked away in heaven and I couldn't find anybody looking at the glory of God. There I stood between heaven and earth, and there the whole heavens was filled with the beauties and the glories of God. And I looked down to earth and I shouted and I screamed and I was so thrilled. And I said, "Look, look, look at the glory of God. How beautiful it was." And everybody was looking right straight at me. And I said, "Oh my God, nobody sees that." And it really tore me up in the vision. See, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Are we really seeing the glory of God? Do we really see the glory of God? When they awoke, they saw his glory. A lot of people are heavy with sleep. They can't see the glory of God because they're heavy with sleep. But listen, unless you can see the glory of God, you can't be changed into his image. You can't just sit around in the church world and say, "Well, the Bible said God's going to rapture us out of here. God's going to do something for us. And I know after a while everything's going to be all right." I promise you, in the name of the Lord, you'll be left. And you'll go through the tribulation period. And you'll go through the awfulness of those things that's on the earth. The Bible said that we are changed from glory to glory. As we behold as it was his face. As an open glass, we are changed from glory to glory, looking into his countenance, looking into his greatness, and him reflecting his glory back into me. And then me becoming what he is. As he is, so am I and he, him, by the predestinated word of God and the works of Christ, or the finished works of Calvary. And so then his glory reflecting in me. And every time I see a revelation, every time I see a faith of a different scripture, a faith of a different understanding, then I move from faith to faith. Paul said, "I am moving from faith to faith." Faith that cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And the preacher preaches the word of God, and I hear. And then faith comes. And I move from that faith till I hear another word, another portion of the scripture, another benefit from God, another part of my eternal security. And then as God speaks, I move from faith to faith. I move from scripture to scripture. I move from word to word. As I go, then the glory of God is opened from faith to faith. From glory to glory, I am changed into the glorious image of the Son of God. And so then I know where I'm going. I see what God is doing, and it thrills my heart. And I say, oh, Lord, this is so wonderful. Like when we look back and I say, this man over here that's got this great ministry, this man isn't going to be there long. There's going to be a change over here. And this over here in the government, there's going to be a change over here. And here at Bethlehem, a certain thing going to take place over here. I see that in the Spirit. I see them glorious things that's coming from God. And I behold what my Father is doing. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I do always the things that I see my Father do. I watch, I see what my Father is doing. As my Father works, I work hitherto, he said. And then he spoke of always watching God, always seeing God. Always moving in the Spirit. The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I don't walk in the Spirit, what can I do? I can't know what God's doing. If I don't move with the Spirit, I can't know what God's doing. All I have to do is, I'll have to lean to my own understanding when the Bible tells me not to do that. I have to try to figure it out in my head up here. I have to try to fit things together and say, well, I don't know, maybe it's like this, maybe it's like that, or maybe it'd be better if I do it another way. And after a while, I'm so confused. But when I follow God, when I follow God from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, from spiritual move of glory to spiritual move of glory, then I'm just stepping in the steps of Jesus. Like the vision I had one time, and I looked and there went Jesus. Jesus, a great, mighty warrior, stepping down in front of me, step after step, and I saw the great framework of Jesus as it sank deep into the earth. Like the song says, stepping in the steps of a big, big man. And I saw those footprints. When he would make those footprints, I look up ahead like that, and they'd sink down deep into the earth. I said, oh, hallelujah. And I'd set my foot right in his foot. Prince, you know. And he'd pick up his foot and leave the print, and I'd step right in his, and I'd step right in his. Just kept going like that. That's what God wants us to do. The Bible said he's our example, that we ought to follow in his steps. He didn't do any guile. I didn't have any guile. He didn't do any sin. But follow in his steps. Go the way that God tells us to go. Do the thing that God tells us to do. Why should we do that? Because if we don't do that, we're not going to enter into the glory of God. And if we mumble, if we complain, if we find fault, then the Bible tells us that we shall not enter into the rest of God. There is no way that you can enter into God's rest as long as you complain. The Bible tells us that in the Old Testament, that the people murmured and complained and grumbled. They murmured against Moses, and God called the earth to open up and swallow them up. Why did he do that? The Bible said they displeased God, and God swore in the time of his wrath that these shall not enter into my rest. They're not going to go into my rest. Paul said, therefore, there remaineth a rest for God's people. He that has ceased from his own work hath entered into God's rest. What is it? It is the glory of God. The glory of God. You say, but Brother Pike, what is this glory? Well, I'm talking about it tonight. Praise God. Say, I'm talking about the glory tonight. But a lot of times, I'm not just talking about the glory. I am revealing the glory. When we get into the mind of God, when we get into revelation, when things begin to break forth and things begin to unveil itself, I'm not describing, I'm not just testifying to, but the glory of God itself is expressing itself through instrumentality of humanity. So then, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, a hunger, a desire, a thirst, something that's great, something that's mighty. Jesus. Walking along the shores of Galilee, they followed hard after Jesus. Jesus had nothing to offer them. He didn't have anything to offer him, just a poor, humble man. He couldn't offer them anything. All he did was just walk along. But when he would open his mouth, they were sitting right there waiting to hear the wonderful words of life. The wonderful words of life. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They wanted to know those words of life. Those things that are so great, so mighty, so wonderful. Those things that excel the earth and go up into the heavenly places. and cause us to sit together in the heavenly places. Words of spirit, words of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. He that heareth my words and believeth on the spirit are him that sent me. Jesus said he shall never come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. How wonderful it is to know that you actually can pass from death unto life. Oh, now somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, don't get beside yourself. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for God. Don't get beside yourself. You mean to tell me that you believe that somebody can actually get out of this world alive? I sure do. I sure do. That's what the Bible tells us. Oh, now, Brother Pike, let's be reasonable. What kind of reasoning? What kind of reasoning do you want to bring in? Now let us be reasonable, somebody would say. Let us sit down and reason this thing out. How are we going to do that? When the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. How are you going to sit down and reason out? Now somebody said, let's be reasonable about it. Why, you know nobody ever got out of this world alive. The Bible said Enoch did. He was translated by faith that he should not see death. Isn't that right? He didn't reason anything about it. He just took what God said about it and went on to be with God. Bypassed the grave. And look at Elijah. What did Elijah do? Elijah didn't try to get a council. He didn't call together the scholars. He didn't sit down and try to figure it out. He went away in a cave somewhere. God said, go back and get ready. The chariot's coming. Old Elijah took him at his word. He went back, made preparations. And after a while, here come the chariot. He just stepped on board and went away. It's real, folks. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pye, you don't really believe things like that happen today? I really do. You mean to tell me you believe that there's angels here today? The Bible said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I, God. God's in the midst of it. And the Bible said, angels of God encamp round about them that love God and fear him. Well, he said, but where are they at? If they are here, why can't I see them? Because you're blind. The Bible said the wicked can't see when good things come. Come on now. That's what the Bible says. When Elijah stood over there and that little servant come over there and all that trouble was going on and here come the enemy and people was about to take their life and great army coming against them and this little fellow just shaking. Run over there to Elijah and said, hey, so they're going to take our lives. Why, there's a great army coming. Well, Elijah just stood there, just calm. He said, well, don't worry about it. What you so frustrated about? The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you wish, please God, he make even your enemies to be at peace with you. See, why is America so upset? Why is she shook up? Why, she'd get right with God. She wouldn't have to worry about communism. Wouldn't have to worry about Russia. She wouldn't have to worry about anybody. All she got to do is call on God. But she's trying to reason it out on her own mind. She's trying to make bombs. She's trying to make planes. She's trying to get ready to fight. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh or goeth down to Egypt for his help. See, and trusting in God is the way out of it. That's the answer to it. Now, the Bible said the days of Solomon, though now remember, David had fought. David had had war. Why was it? Because David had sinned against God. Isn't that right? David sinned against God and his enemies rose up against him. God said, David, because you've done this thing, your enemies have, they've got a chance against you now to reproach you and fight against you. Whereas the Bible said, don't give place to the devil. But look at Solomon. In the days of Solomon, he prayed, God, give me wisdom. And the Bible said, he asked for wisdom to guide God's people, and God said there's peace in all the land. And all of Solomon's enemies were at peace with him. Isn't that right? God caused all of them to get at peace with him. Everything settled down. That's what America needs to do. You love Jesus? So then the angels of God are here. Elijah said, don't get so troubled. Said, they that are with us are more than they that are against us. And the little man, he didn't see anything. And God, Elijah, the great prophet, spoke to God, feeling sorry for the man, knowing he was a nervous wreck. Elijah said, Father said, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes, and the Bible said he looked around, and the whole area was full of fiery chariots and prancing horses. My, what an army stood by Elijah. Great, mighty army of God. Oh, hallelujah. My, no wonder he wasn't afraid. Jesus wasn't afraid when they took him to Calvary. Why, he said, I've got a commandment of God that could call down legions of angels. No man taking my life. I lay it down of myself. I can take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. See, Elijah wasn't disturbed. And besides all that, Elijah didn't have to use those fire chariots. God just had him around there in case. Isn't that right? God said, Peter, just in case, I prayed for you. Said, your faith fail you not. In case you get in a hard place, I already prayed for you. I like that. God's prayed for me. If I get in a tight place and a strait, God's watching after me. And he's already prayed the prayer of faith, saying, Father, get George out of this thing. Oh, and when I get in that place and my faith begins to get this way and that way, I say, my God, you prayed for me. I'm coming out of it in Jesus' name. Always it works that way. So then, Elijah, he knew he didn't need all those fire chariots. Why, when those people come up there close to him, he just calmly stood there and said, every one of you just be blind. And that took care of it. That's what Paul did. Said, you be blind for a season. That's all it was to it. And the Bible said blindness fell on the entire army, and they went about seeking somebody to lead them. And they said, well, here, Elijah, take my hand and show me where I'm going. Well, I need your help. Why, Elijah could have took the sword and run every one of them through one by one. But did he do that? Why, that little servant, he just popped up and said, now's the time to get rid of them and relieve ourselves of our adversaries. Well, Elijah said, now you wouldn't do nobody like that, would you? So, well, we got the advantage. So he just turned around, took them to where they need to go. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Oh, God is watching over us. What was it? When the man's eyes come open, he saw the glory of God. Elijah was abiding in the glory of God. Elijah was confident because he saw God's glory. When that little fella got his eyes open, he saw the glory of God. But the Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. Everything in that kind of condition, everything shook up and nobody knowing what to do. But the Lord had taken care of it. You know, there's things that God has for us tonight. I've got them in my heart tonight, many of them, that I'd like to share with you. But God has things for us this very night that if we could see his glory, if we could move into a different realm, into a different place, into a different desire, into another place with God, a higher level with God, my, at the things that we would see. Look at John the Revelator. Here they had exiled him to Patmos, 96 A.D., took him over there, put him on this little rocky island just off of the shores of Asia Minor, according to history. Got him over there, and there he was, John, the great, beloved John, the one that had walked with the apostles, the great, mighty John, that one that had leaned upon Jesus' breast. But look at him, over here on a little old island, deserted all by himself. You know how it is when darkness falls, terror comes, even if you've got some means of security. But here was John over there with the wild beast, like Jesus was during the time of his fast. And here he was out there, John, all by himself. Nobody to watch after him, no security. And there he was. And no doubt when the darkness began to fall around him, it was terrifying, knowing that the beast was out there. But John, the Bible said, faith worketh by love. John being made perfect in love. John leaning on Christ. John remembered that great, mighty God. As he looked back, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there, John, as John looked around, he took courage in God. And he began to pray. He began to call on God. And all of a sudden, what happened? Like Ezekiel, he saw the glory of God. All of a sudden, he heard a voice behind him like many waters. Everything began to rumble. John turned slowly and looked. When he did, the Bible said, there he stood. He said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. I am the resurrection and the life. You don't have to be afraid, John. I'm right here with you. He saw the glory of God. Look at the unveiled glory of God. All alone. Yet Jesus said, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. All alone. Cut off. And yet he wasn't alone, because God was there with him. Isn't that right? God was there. Look at old Daniel. They put Daniel in the lion's den. No doubt bound him, throwed him down in there. Put him down in the lion's den. Daniel was there. Nobody could help him. But old Daniel remembered his prayer. Old Daniel remembered his faith. Daniel remembered his God. No doubt when Daniel hit the bottom of that lion's den, he said, Lord, I've called on you 3 times a day for years and years. That voice probably screamed back and said, don't be afraid, Daniel. All of a sudden, Daniel's eyes come open. The angel of God probably moved through that place down there and locked the mouth of those lions, and Daniel saw the glory of God as God locked their jaws to where they couldn't do anything. Hallelujah. It wasn't long before Daniel turned that den of lions into a pet shop. Amen. Glory to God. Why was that? Because he saw the glory of God. That's what we need to do. We need to see the glory of God. They took the Hebrew children. They threw them into the fire furnace. The king threatened them and he said, see here, I'm the boss here. I'm the king. And you tell me that you're not going to do what I say do? When I set up an image before you and I tell you to worship, and when I command you, you're not going to do it? You mean to tell me that when the sheriffs do it and the governors do it and the presidents do it and all the rest of them do it, you're going to stand there and tell me you're not going to do it? They said, we're not careful to answer the old king. Hallelujah. He said, but I'm the king. Don't you know what I can do to you? Pilate said to Jesus, said, don't you know I have the power to take your life or release you? Jesus looked back at him and said, you couldn't have any power unless God gave it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. God looked down out of heaven. God saw what was going on. And those Hebrew children said, we're not careful to answer you this matter. Said, if God wants to get us out of here, he can get us out of here. Said, if he don't get us out of here, if we die in the flame, we're still going to serve God. We're not going to bow down to an image. What was it? See, God was looking at them. God knew what was going on. God was there. They prayed. They knew God was with them. Hallelujah. They knew the great testimonies of how God had delivered. They knew what was going on. Isn't that right? They knew what God was doing. They knew the stories of David, how that God delivered Goliath into his hand. They knew how David had killed the bear, how David had conquered. They understood. I remember one night, I told it a number of times, God spoke to my heart. And I went way out, away from the town, way out in the woods, way down in the wilderness. Got way down in the big high grass and Everglades, round down near a pond, way down away from everything, and the darkness of night fell. And it got black. It looked like that night the devil made it the blackest night I just about ever seen. You know, you go away like that, well, you count on being in the moonlight. But brothers and sisters, there wasn't any moonlight. The devil, he put the light out altogether, and I mean it was pitch black. And there I was down there. And you know, the devil will talk to you in the dark, isn't that right? He'll talk to you and he'll tell you about this and that and everything that's wild around you and the dangers around you. And here comes the snakes crawling around you and all those things. And you'll find yourself with the jitters if you're not careful. But you know, while we was down there, God spoke to my heart. And he said, son, what did you come down here for? I said, to worship the Almighty God. He said, is that your purpose down here? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm God. I created heaven and earth. I created everything. He said, that snake that crawled in the grass, I created him. He said, if you're down here to talk to me, he said, don't worry, I'll make him be at peace with you. He won't bother you. Praise You know what I did? I prayed to God and talked to God as long as I wanted to, and I laid down the high grace and I put my hand under my head and I went off to sleep and waited for the morning. I didn't worry about it. I said, now Lord, I believe what you said about that thing. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Hebrew children, they threw them down in the flames, but they didn't give in. And then all of a sudden, what happened to them? Because they stood by faith, because they were looking in the right direction, because they were looking up instead of down, they saw the glory of God. And the Bible said the fourth man appeared in the fire. And that king, he saw what was going on and it shook him up so, it tore him up so. He said, look, said, how many folks did we throw down there? Said, wasn't it three? Said, yeah, king, it wasn't but three. He said, but I see four. Said, and one of them looks like the Son of God. My, what a sight that must have been. The radiant magnificence of God walking around in the flame. And he said, the thing that's got me all tore up. He said, why? He said, we stowed them down there. They was bound. So we had them bound. He said, every one's loose just walking around down there just like they're in some kind of parade. Hallelujah. You know what happened? The king called for them. The fire was so hot, the Bible said it slew the men that got close enough to the furnace to throw them in. But it didn't hurt them. The smell of fire wasn't even on them, hadn't even singed them. And they come out, and instead of them falling down to that image and worshiping the image that the king set up, I can see that old king as he fell down like this saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have mercy on me. We're going to pass a new law. What kind of law? You're going to worship Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. Said, if there's a man here that don't worship his God, said, I'll make his house a dunghill. See, they won the victory. Testimony of Christ. Why can't we do that? Why can't we be like that? Why can't we lift up Christ and stand for God and let the world see what we are and who we are and what we're trying to do for Jesus? When they awoke, they saw his glory. God did something for them. God wants to do something for Bethlehem too. Did you know that? You're important to God, and God wants to do something for you. I want you to stand with me. God wants to do something for you. You say, Brother Pike, what does God want to do for me? He wants to show you his glory. Hallelujah. God wants to show you his glory. My, what a sight. How beautiful to see the glory of God. The Bible said Ezekiel looked and saw his glory coming in by the east gate. How beautiful it was. We can be just what we want to be in Christ. Without him I can do nothing. Without him I would but fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Can you sing with me? Oh Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. You know, without Jesus, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you'll fail. You know, it's like I was telling Bill and Brother Jim and some of the boys in the early afternoon. We are nothing. As individuals, we are nothing. We're nothing. Paul said, I'm less than nothing. We're nothing. In this world, as individuals, we are nothing. At our very best, we don't even register in the sight of God. I think that's why Paul used the term, I'm less than nothing. Not even a speck in his sight, Paul said. An individual is nothing. He's a little handful of dirt, dust. That's all there is to him. But in Christ, in God, we are great and we are mighty. Great and mighty. The Bible said so mighty that we'll outshine the noonday sun. Sons of the living God that's made to live forever. We are not just man, but we are gods. Jesus said, ye are gods. That's what the Holy Scripture said. Ye are gods. Why should gods die like men? He said, ye are gods, yet ye die like men. Why is it that gods die like men? God should not die like men. Isn't that right? You can't really kill a god. Somebody would say, but if they die like men, and you say they're gods, Brother Pike, they're dead. No. Though a man die, yet shall he live again, if he's a god. You can't kill a god. But see, a god doesn't have to die to start with. There's no need for a god to die. And we say, but it's appointed unto man once to die, Brother Pike. Everybody has to do that. But the Bible doesn't say it's appointed unto God's once to die. It said it's appointed unto man's once to die. But we're not men. The Bible said we are gods. We pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. We were born as a man into the world. But when we were born again, we were born as sons and daughters of God to live eternally. We were born to die. To begin with, but we were born to live in our new birth. Hallelujah. That's why it's so needful that men of courage and men of valor and men of integrity and men of understanding, men of power and ability rise up that other men might follow them. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, that we might lead you into the lovely kingdom of the Almighty God. And Paul said, for I must present you to God. I must present you to God. So I seek to present you as a chaste virgin, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Wanting to help you, helpers of your faith, wanting to do something for you. I thought about the article in the paper that was written in the Atlanta Journal. And I thought about the man that's supposed to be such a great minister here in our local area in Monroe. A man from seminary that's leading the people. And how that he made this statement against us in protest. Because we teach people that they should be perfect in God. Made the statement, said God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Oh, how wrong people are. If the man had been a Bible scholar at all, the first thing he would have known was the Bible teaches and emphatically states that God has set in the body a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And the Bible tells us in Paul's writing, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And that charity is the bond of perfection. And that we have come to the mount wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. And the Bible said Abraham, Noah, Job, those men were perfect men. Friend, we need to follow on to know Christ. We need to follow on to understand Christ. We need to be led of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? Who then should we follow? The man Christ Jesus. And who is he? We're a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, Paul said. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow the body of Christ. Don't follow men. If you follow men, you follow education. You follow diplomas. You follow great things out in the world, degrees. That's following man. But when you follow the ministry, you're following Christ. You follow the body of Jesus and the church, you're following Christ. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. Come together in the assemblies of God to worship, to pray, to strengthen, to seek God. Fast and pray. I appreciate the people that have just come off of a fast. Numbers of them. 3 and 5 day fast is, I appreciate it. Many others that have gone lengthy fast as we appreciate it. I thank the Lord for it. I thank God for prayer. I got a report the other day that a brother among us has been spending a lot of time on his knees in prayer, calling on God over in the midnight hour, still getting up, going to work in the morning and working, still carrying on his work here at the offices. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. It's so wonderful. Let's sing this little chorus before we dismiss tonight. Peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, wants to give you peace. All of the paths of God are peace tonight.